Okay, it is That's Entertainment, and you are very welcome along to this hour, and I need this hour. It's been a busy, stressful week. A lot of heavy stuff out there, so we're going to take our foot off that pedal and press it on the pedal of fun. And if you are planning anything for the weekend, maybe you want to reflect on what you did for Halloween last night. Anything, because entertainment, you know, it's a broad church. We talk about podcasts, we talk about what's on the telly, what's in the cinema, what's on the stage. But there's lots of stuff going on around the community as well. So if you do have a community event that you want to give a plug, please get in touch with us. We'll be happy to do that for you as well. We're in the company today of Michael Liddy, who is a writer and a blogger, and I'm afraid we're probably going to have to update your introductions because you are an award-winning director. Director's been stuck on the end already, right? But you are it's an award-winning director.
Yes, indeed.
I'm an award-winning broadcaster.
And, I know, we're in good...
I mean, that is a fact.
We are, of course, I know.
Multi-shortlisted.
I know that.
You are an award-winning director.
Director, this is true, yeah.
No harm, Donna Murray.
I'm just here for a good time.
just here for a good time, all right. I mean,
what
you are...
welcome
I mean,
for you.
Are,
welcome for you, Donna
I mean, you
Murray.
Are
Seriously.
Among great people, that's what I'm saying. Donna Murray Doherty's the super sub. She's in for Fionnuala. I don't know if Fionnuala's going to turn up. She's the boss. She could do whatever she likes.
Was.
It's completely up to her. But for now, we're more than happy to have Donna Marie Doherty. So you won an award. We were talking about you heading to Bangor last week. We'll say no more about that. We were talking about you heading towards Bangor because you're on the one act circuit,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
You took one of your plays down there.
Yes.
And you got an award. What award did you get?
We won the best play. So we got that in our section, the open section. That is significant for the group moving forward, because as we were saying last week, it's all part of a national competition, so that puts us one step closer to getting through to the All-Ireland. We also got one of the actors, Andrew Tinney, got the Best Actor Award in a very tight competition, and then there was the Best Director, and which you've mentioned kindly, and then there was also an Adjudicator Special Award for the scripting, because it's a new script written by Kieran Kelly, who's written manuscripts that have been performed.
Yeah, and it is important to point out as well that these awards are not given out willy nilly. There's a huge number of different groups, organisations.
Yes.
I don't know what the collective term is, involved in putting on these types of these types of shows.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's a lot of these all around the country, and you know the judges also have to stand by their decisions. Mm. And what I'm saying is it's not insignificant. It's really quite significant. And as an arty farty type at times too, Donna Marie, if you don't mind the phrase, you can recognise how tough it is. Maybe you have won an award.
Sorry?
Arty farty sounds better.
It is.
Maybe you have won an award.
In the competition that Michael's in, we came second nationally
last year.
Me and Mickey McMahon, okay. Sean Laverty was the director, McMenamin, yeah. And then Michael Given King, who's actually Patricia's brother-in-law, who was just on there.
All right, brilliant. That's excellent. Nice. Well, you didn't win.
Yeah.
No, but you didn't win.
Oh, we did.
No, you didn't. You came second.
Donna Marie, storm out.
I'm going to leave you high and dry.
Storm out.
This is it.
Imagine the scene. People have been talking about it all weekend. Do it.
It's
just storm
so
out. I'll go with you.
Okay. I mean, like, listen, I've come second or third in an award. I never even mention it. I only mention the ones where you get the big gold award, you know?
Wow.
Okay.
You know, you're so cool.
Yeah.
You're so cool. When I grow up, Greg, I want to be like you.
Okay.
Did you know you're the wind beneath my wings?
Thank you. Let's start with Netflix, Women of the Hour. Mm. Woman of the Hour. I really enjoyed this. I didn't think it was going to be any good, so this was a little side hustle I had, a side slice.
Yes.
I never let on to other people in the house that I was going to watch this.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then after I'd watched it, I was like, other people have enjoyed this, but I wasn't going to sit through it again. Woman of the Hour on Netflix. Great show. It's been number one for a while. I thought it was very good. What did you think?
I thought it was okay.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. A bit of conflict, bit of contradiction here.
What was wrong with it?
So basically, we'll tell the story first. Yeah, we'll tell the story. So Woman of the Hour is Anna Kendrick's directorial debut. Mm. She's also playing the main character in the story. And a guy called Ian McDonald has done the scripting. It's a true story. In the 1970s, there was a prolific serial killer who, a couple of articles I've read about him say that his tally, if that's the right word, might have been as high as 130 different women that he killed throughout the decade. In the latter part of the decade, 1977-78, he appeared on The Dating Game, a TV game show.
Blind Date, the US version.
So this is the story of the woman who was on the show that night with him. and had to choose him from three different bachelors. And that takes up the A story of the movie. And while we're watching that, in a non-linear style, we jump backwards and forwards in time, showing him meeting and ultimately killing other women.
Which normally I don't like the time hopping. I thought they did it quite well in this film, to be honest. It didn't distract me at all, okay. And I had no issue following it.
Yes. The performances are very, very good. Tony Hale, who people will know best for comedic roles like in Veep and Arrested Development.
And her, probably.
Oh, yeah. Anna Kendrick has done a lot of lighter roles as well. But they handle the very serious material exceptionally well. And she, as a director, knows how to craft scenes of suspense. The script has gotten a lot of praise. I mean, it's 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. And a lot of the praise is directed at the fact that it really captures that 1970s sensibility, the misogyny that was kind of in the society at the time, where some women were talking about this man like a friend of a deceased woman coming forward and just being completely ignored and sent to a cleaner and, you know, this kind of stuff. A lot of that goes on in it. My problem with it really was that, although it's a really interesting true story, I thought as a movie there isn't enough of a narrative there to hold it together. I mean, not spoiling the movie in any major way, but it's not as if it's the story of a police manhunt, because this guy was operating completely underneath the radar. People did not know he was out there doing this. And even the main character in the story, how do I answer this without giving away spoilers, but she's not exactly instrumental in his...
No, I don't think their encounter on a dating show is actually significant, really. Mm. I think what it is, it's actually just quirky in that, can you believe a serial killer went on a dating show?
Yeah.
I didn't really lean that much into that part of the story. The rest of it that went on around it, I thought it was quite nice. Because if you watch a program like Zodiac, it's not intense chasing people down. A lot of it is about setting the scene.
Absolutely.
I thought he was really good as the bad guy.
Yeah.
And I get where you're coming from, but I don't think quite so deeply. So I don't know why I thought her direction was good. All I know is I come out of it and I thought it was a good film. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, some of the scenes, her direction was excellent in terms of the suspense that was built in some of those little vignettes where we, jump back to 1971. They were excellent little, we were really, you knew it was going to happen. You were dreading what was going to happen. But rather than be bored by the anticipation, you were like, oh my God. And then she framed a lot of what she did, and she was very smart with how she kept some of, sometimes the actual deaths took place very far away from the camera. Mm. And I always think it goes right back to Spielberg and Jaws. If you don't show the audience everything, you show them the build-up and then let the audience imagine
but
things.
That being said, that can be horrific. She did also, I think, relate the brutality of what the victims went through. So they weren't sort of... happened in the background. I would give it a 7.5.
Okay.
You're going in at what, 6?
Probably 6, yeah. Right, okay. I mean, I liked it, but I didn't love it.
Did you? Sorry, I don't want to disclude you. Or...
No, I haven't seen it, but I've been watching a lot of the press that Anna Kendrick's been doing, and I thought that it's been fascinating. You're like, all the profits, she's making no money off of this.
She doesn't want to profit off the back of it, which I think is really quite interesting.
It's a massive grey area. Yeah.
And it's not exploitative. I don't think it's not exploitative.
I haven't seen it, but I heard that it's not like sensationalizing. You know, so it can be said with like the Jeffrey Dahmer thing. It's almost been like, oh my God, he's so strange and so like dark and mysterious. Like it's, you know.
And I think Monsters, for an example, that was more about characters than the crimes as well too.
Yeah.
Interesting. Just on this subject, it might seem a little bit morbid, but it just so happens as things have come up, there is I would highly recommend the Netflix documentary on Zodiac. This is Zodiac speaking. It's fantastic. You know, we talk about access in documentaries. Mm. It's a horrific case, but they've got access to his kids.
Yep.
And a lot of people have never heard of his kids or what they knew or what they didn't know. It timelines their experiences with their dad. They don't know who the killer is, right? Who the Zodiac killer is, but it's just a very good three-parter, about 45 minutes each, if you're into that. And I'm going to say this at the same time so we don't keep talking about serial killers. There is a very good film, and it's a good weekend film, actually, on Netflix, The Clover Hitch Killer. Have you seen it?
No.
It's brilliant. It's about a young lad who lives in a town where there have been multiple murders. Oh, it's awful stuff to be talking about, I know. But then he suspects that his dad could be the murderer.
Ooh.
But it's played out really, really well. It's a very, very good film.
And that's called The Cloverfield
Clover Hitch Killer.
Clover Hitch.
I might have to Google it. I think that's what it's called.
No, 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 just
but that's on Netflix, just in case it goes, because it is actually a really good Friday night, Saturday night film.
Gotcha.
So I really enjoyed that. Okay, we are going to come back with something from the cinema from Donna Marie after we take this quick break. It's That's Entertainment. We've got Michael Liddy, and now we're going to Donna Marie Doherty. Donna Marie, Smile 2 in the cinema. There seems to be an awful lot of horror sequels in the cinema. I don't remember Smile 1. But anyway, you went to watch Smile 2. What say you?
So
yes,
it was,
in a good way.
It was, yeah, it was. It was really intense. But I think whenever you go see a horror film in the cinema, like you're jarred and you're forced to watch it, which makes it so much scarier. That one point, I was like, if I just tried to go to sleep, I could just wake up whenever it's all over. And the girl's like, "Were you sleeping during that?" I was like, oh, "I tried to, but it didn't really work." But no. It is.
Imagine paying to go into the cinema so you could go to sleep to avoid a film.
Oh, it was so. I think horror films have gotten a lot scarier in the last, I'd say, nearly 6 months.
Is it jump scares or gore? Because I'm not too interested in the gore.
It's a good mixture of both. So right. There is jump scares because it's that typical kind of falling into delusion. Is there somebody really there? Is there not? And then they are there. But then next time you look around, they're gone.
Because I remember back in the day, the special effects would extend to maybe a string of sausages, you know? You know what I'm on about?
Yeah,
like.
I do. I know
but
what you mean.
But now
yeah.
they can make things so realistic, right?
Oh,
it's almost, really.
Oh, you're just watching through your fingers. Like,
yeah.
Oh, no, it does. It is quite gory. So it is.
More immersive in the cinema, I'd imagine, than sitting on the couch at home.
And all the just sounds, because everyone is like scared stiff and silent.
Right.
It is just. Oh, it's about.
Is it worth going through the storyline on it? If one exists.
Do you need to see Smile 1? Is it like
one? I don't think you need to see.
All right, fair enough.
I won't understand. It is that there's this entity called the Smiler.
Mm-hmm.
And he or it will sort of like take over a person's mind.
Oh.
And it's nearly like it's a virus.
Just like the bloody mainstream media. I'm trying to take over our minds and tell us what to think.
But it's like a virus. And how the virus is passed on is that the Smiler will drive you to
Bundoran for the weekend.
Such a state that the person who has it will kill themselves, but they need to do it in front of somebody else, and that's how the virus is passed on.
Oh wow.
Okay.
So it's it's intense, so it is. Right. But if you like a good scare, it's definitely to go. And it was Halloween week, so you had to.
Oh, it's the time for these kind of things. Yeah,
it is. It is.
But
yeah.
I just find horror films are so poor because often the production, you can knock one out, and a lot of them are like 2 out of 10s, 3 out of 10s. There's very few that come through, I think. And often when they're highly rated, I actually would say, is it really a horror? Do you know what I mean? Mm. Get Out. Or films like that, are they truly what a horror is? But if it's this old school, sort of an old school slasher kind of a thing. Is that
no,
how you view it?
No, it's right, not. Okay. But there's a whole lot of there was a bit in it that it was so in just the perception or the point of view
of the person.
So it was, and there was a lot of movement about which kind of made you more, you didn't know where you were.
Makes you uneasy watching it.
But it was.
It's an ingenious idea. It's a step up from the one, the videotape. Do you remember that one years ago? The tape was being passed.
Yeah.
So it's a step up from that where it's like a virus that it's a good idea. Like it's a good step up.
It's just about the execution, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all
literally
about it.
And
literally,
metaphor.
Your metaphor. Yeah.
It won't be a horror show today for Evan Little and Arlene Kilpatrick. All the best on your wedding day. Love from the Kerrigan family. See you later is the message. right, okay. Have a fantastic day, folks. Any other requests, please feel free to get them into us. So Smile 2 out of 10. I think you have to throw in the fact that it's Halloween. You have to throw in the cinema experience, the other people watching it. What are you giving it out of 10? Maybe you did that
definitely,
already.
Definitely in it. There was
That's good for a horror.
Yeah, brilliant.
There was a poor fella in front of me and I thought I was scared, but there was at one point he jumped so hard that he made me jump and it was, brilliant.
Chain effect. All right, brilliant stuff. So that's Smile 2 in the cinema right about now if you want to go out. And it's good for a first date because hopefully the date would just grip onto you.
Oh, you know what you're getting there.
Yeah? Do you know what I mean? Don't worry if you get scared. I'm here for you. Another sequel, Venom 3's in the cinema as well. What's
Definitely in your wheelhouse,
Greg.
As bad
as I fear.
This is definitely your thing. Greg will now pick up some papers and start reading them and ignore me.
No, I'm here for it.
It's not your thing.
Yeah.
This is another Marvel film, and this is the Sony side of Marvel. So it's not produced by Marvel Studios, who do all of the Marvel films. This is like the fifth one that Sony have done. It's part of a subsection of the Spideyverse, really, because they have the rights to those characters. The Venom movies are just chaotic, and they're great fun. They have a completely different tone to the rest of the Marvel Universe, but for some reason they work. This third one is written and directed by Kelly Marcel. She wrote all three of the movies. And that, I think, is part of the fact that they work, because they...
It's continuation.
There's a continuation of style and tone. Tom Hardy, the star, has a producing credit and a writing credit on this as well. So he had a lot of input.
Can you understand his words in this?
Yes, just about, yeah, okay, I can. And he's clearly having a ton of fun playing this character. He just loves playing Eddie. He loves playing Venom. So it's one of those movies. Nobody is probably going to go and see Venom 3 first. People are already fans of the franchise. I'm a huge fan of the franchise. I think this one is almost as good as Venom 2, which I thought was fantastic. It's a really good, fun, chaotic, crazy movie. It takes the form of almost a chase, because it picks up... It actually picks up directly from the last time we saw him. They reuse the last scene where we saw Eddie.
Oh, brilliant. So they demonstrate that the story is continuing. They did that in one of the John Wick films, didn't they? 3 to 4 or something.
Yeah, something like that. So I liked it as well.
If you're watching them one after other.
Exactly. And in this case, it just sets the scene. Nothing needs to be explained. You're like, oh, this is where we left him. And he's in Mexico, or he's down south of the border, and he has to get back into America. He has to get somewhere. So we follow him on a very chaotic, very funny journey. Juno Temple from Ted Lasso is in this. Fantastic to see her. She's very good. I did think she and her character were underused. It was a minor quibble. I thought they would do more with her. It's almost as if they were setting her and the character up for another film, but I don't want to spoil anything there.
Yeah, understood.
But I think that might be what's going on there. It was funny. It was just, Harry is in his element. He said that this is the last one. They're not doing a fourth one. They're going to stop. But he has also said that he's keeping the door open. People want to see Venom and Spider-Man together.
Is Venom a good guy?
Venom is...
Or a complex character.
He's a complex character. Okay. He's sort of like... I was going to say he's a bit like the Punisher, but you don't know who the Punisher is either. He's like an anti-hero. He kills people.
Gotcha.
He kills people. This is not a spoiler, but in the opening minutes of this film, he stumbles upon a ring of dog fighters. They've taken dogs and they're fighting. There's four guys. So we open the film.
It's in the trailer.
So it's in the trailer, yeah. So there's a big, big fight. Now, he ends that fight by eating their heads. He just eats their heads. That's what Venom does. Right. But they, as Fee says, they deserve that. So he's a good guy. He's a lethal protector. He does what needs to be done to protect the innocent. But if you're not innocent, look out.
All right, it's
good fun. It's definitely not like the other Marvel
stuff. If it's
stuff.
Three self-contained films, I might sort of try one and see if it leaves me on to the next one. I'm not anti it. It's just I find it all very
but
complex.
They're self-contained. They're their own wee thing. And we may see Venom in a Spider-Man movie, who knows. But for the time being, this is a conclusive ending. And if you're a fan and if you're going to see it this weekend, worth pointing out that you should stay to the very, 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 very end of the credits, because it's a very... very important scene at the end.
Why did they do that, knowing that people will... Is it to get the viral buzz going?
I think it's the... Do you remember, like, nobody... You know CDs? You remember when we buy CDs 20 years ago and there was always the hidden track? You get a placebo album and if you stayed on the last track for like 14 minutes, another song popped up. I think it's an insider thing. Okay. I think it's that thing of where we know about this. I don't know. I mean, I think it's that thing of did you see the extra bit? It's like, did you hear the hidden track on Placebo's second album? Did you hear that? You know, so I think that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Those days are gone now. We don't have hidden tracks anymore because everybody streams everything, so.
Yeah, of course. Well, maybe we do. You just haven't found them yet.
Maybe.
There's a possibility.
You're really wearing the tin foil hat today. So you think there are hidden tracks out there?
Some guy, and it quite literally is his handle, some guy on YouTube says, I don't know any serial killers. But listen, you're perfect. You could be living beside one, because if you ever noticed the news interviews, he kept himself to himself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? something like that.
Yeah.
Many
he
years ago.
He was in the backyard and sharpening knives every night. Do you remember John? He'd be outside with his knives sharpening away.
Well, you know, they often hide in plain sight, which is why you might enjoy the Cloverhitch film. Many years ago, I was in a video rental shop when a girl walked in. She was returning three videotapes. The shopkeeper asked her what she thought of them. They were horror films, you see. She said she didn't watch them as she was too scared to do so. So Donna Marie could be forgiven for wanting to sleep.
Lovely.
Watched Territory on Netflix last week. I would say it's an Australian version of Yellowstone set in the largest cattle station in Northern Australia. Pretty good, but it's hard to beat Yellowstone. Mm. I mean, obviously Yellowstone was going to trigger similar genre shows, right?
Of course.
So I'm not familiar with... actually, I haven't watched Yellowstone, so I can't really talk to that. But Territory, you can understand why they might try and make an Aussie version of it. G'day, mate. If you've watched that and it does rival Yellowstone or complement it, let us know. 086 60 25000. Right, we are in the company of Donna Marie Doherty and Michael Leddy, and we've loads more to come. Keep your texts and calls and comments coming in, but first let's take a quick break. Well, if you thought Halloween was done and dusted, dare I say, you could be wrong, because there's a great event taking place in Dunfanaghy this evening, and we were talking about heading over to this ourselves too, actually, so I did know about it. But we're going to say hello to Bernice Alcorn to find out more. Hi, Bernice.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
Spooky. How are you?
I'm good. Good. Up to rise here, but getting there.
Yeah, well, listen, you can organise your blue in the face, but you can't organise the weather. And looks like you're going to have nice, calm, mild, dry weather, which is fantastic. That's the one thing you just can't organise. So tell us what's happening tonight.
Well, tonight it's all kicking off at 7 p.m. We have a candlelight parade starting from the from the Osmond Centre, and we have a samba band playing, and we're going down through the town out as far as the Presbyterian Church and back into the square. And we have fire eaters, and we have stilt walkers, and we have witches, and all that going on too. We're going to have the fire eaters while the parade's coming down. And we want everyone to be there for about 6:30 to be ready to go.
And people can get involved in the parade, can't they? Because there's lanterns available to purchase on the night, and raising money for the Dunfanaghy Town Festival development. So you can be part of that candlelit parade.
Oh, of course, that's what we're calling out for, because we're selling the candles for €2. See, we can't use torches, so it's candles, and we're selling them for €2, and they're all in the premises, and all the premises in Dunfanaghy for sale, and there will be some for sale up at the Osmond tonight.
And
as well.
That all starts at 7. Get there early. Get your nice position if you're not getting involved in it, because it's going to be a wonderful sight. It's pitch black, right? The weather's good. You're going to see all of these candles, stilt walkers, fire eaters, all that kind of crack. And then there's a band as well, the samba band you mentioned. And it all leads up to
the finale.
A fireworks display. Fantastic stuff.
Yes.
What's going on there?
Yes.
Where is it?
The fireworks, we have a raft out in the middle of the bay.
Brilliant.
And the fireworks is going to go off from there. And thanks to Andrew Moore and Ryan Moore, who built the raft for us at the last minute. And so they're going off from there. We're not really putting a time on the fireworks, because we don't know how long the music and things going to go on, but we're hoping the fireworks will be starting maybe about 8:30.
Yeah, and what would be nice actually is that people got there as early as possible to enjoy all the effort and the performers that's in there as well. I know there's going to be those that just turn up for the fireworks, but it'd be nice to support all of it. So it's going to be great fun.
Yeah,
an unforgettable evening, I'm told.
Yeah, it's going to, we used to have it years ago. And then 2019, it was called off because of fire, because of the weather. And the fireworks was called off due weather. And then then COVID set in.
Well, we're back now, and which is great.
So we're back, and we're glad to be back, and like we've been running quizzes and whatnot to try and fundraise, and we're going to have buckets out tonight looking for small donations to so that we can be sure to have it next year, maybe bigger and better. Right.
Okay, so bring change with you. Bring cash with you is what I'm saying. Well. All right,
yes.
Great stuff. It begins at the Ozanaman Centre at 7 p.m. You can join it, in fact, by purchasing a lantern and then also supporting the town festival. Go ahead, Bernice.
They can join and dance their way down the town with the samba bands tonight and really get involved. And we have a prize for the best dressed adult on the night. And did I hear you saying that you're coming down?
I think we're going to get nip over, yeah, for sure.
We could use you to judge the fancy dress, and we're going to have a prize for the best dressed child.
Well, listen, we'll touch base. If anything I can do to support local communities, I'll do, Bernice. We'll see what the crack is, all right? I'll speak to you after. Come here, best of luck with it tonight. The thing that you have in your advantage from 2019 is the weather. Calm seas.
Yes.
Calm winds, very little chance of rain, nice and mild, and it's on the right night too. Last night doesn't suit a lot of people, Friday night might. Bernice, well done to you and all the team. You're doing fantastic stuff in Dunfermline.
Can I just say a thank you to the committee, Annie Moore, Denise Ferry, Kira Cannon and Ryan Moore, and Kathy Dunn, for all the help and all the volunteer in all year round to try and get fundraising for tonight.
All right. See you later, Bernice. Thank you very much indeed. That's a good. Sounds like a bit of fun, doesn't it? What do you think? Yeah?
A bit of crack.
Bit of crack. Are you going?
No, I'm not.
Where are you going?
Yeah.
I've sort of tied up.
What are you doing?
Taking my play around.
You going somewhere else again?
We're on tonight. We're on tomorrow night. We're on in Letterkenny.
So Letterkenny tonight. Because remember last week there was a little bit of confusion because I sort of thought it was last weekend, but it's this weekend.
Yes,
so
the festival's
Friday,
on
Saturday, Sunday, weekend.
Yeah.
You can see nine plays.
I mean,
60 quid. It was.
Yeah, and it's amazing.
So get on to the box office.
It's
there.
My first in the 10 years is my first year to miss it because I'm away. But I love the one act festival.
In a way, I suppose it's inspired you to do what you're doing too.
Absolutely,
so it's doing its
work
as well, isn't it? All right, great stuff. Right, shall we stay in the stage, A Matter of Rights? This is in the Bala Theatre. It's amazing that we can sort of switch, isn't it, from the Millennium Forum to the on Green on to the Bala and even down to Ballyshannon. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then there's the great facilities in Strabane. We're blessed with great places for people to perform. Yeah. A Matter of Rights, is that the Conor Malone play?
It is the
I can't plug that anymore. This would be the fourth time.
Oh, I know, but I just said I went to go see it. And it was class.
Right.
So is it good? I can't wait to see it.
I'm only joking. Go ahead.
I'm dying to see this. Yeah,
right,
They are indeed. This is a contemporary storyline, isn't it? About what challenges us in this day and age and how we deal with it.
That's it. So it is.
Ripped from the headlines, as they say, as they used to say. Ripped from the headlines.
Yeah.
It's set in a son who's just picked his father up from serving 3 months in jail for taking part in a protest outside an asylum seeker building.
Mm-hmm.
So it is. And what's done and what's really interesting about it is that people on either side of that argument can watch that play and leave being like, see, I'm right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they can.
Yeah,
it's not disenfranchising.
No, it's not. It's not, but it is also, it's on in Letterkenny this weekend, so it is. So you have a lot of the same venues. So you guys are in Letterkenny tonight, the Butts in Letterkenny on Sunday.
Yes.
And then they're also in Ballina.
I say yes, like I knew that, but
yeah, exactly.
I'm very chaotic. I know we're on somewhere that I personally will get to see it, but I don't know where that is because we're on... You get to see one play.
I'm not sure how interesting this conversation is. This is
the
wider audience.
I agree. Yeah.
I think you could have this conversation after.
True enough.
Is that all right? So, A Matter of Rights is one of 9 plays that you can see for 60 quid this weekend.
Mm-hmm, it is.
And worth the entry fee alone,
definitely,
by the sounds of it, Donna Marie. And contemporary. And I think it's an interesting observation to make that it's not using art necessary to push a predictable narrative down your throat.
No, absolutely not.
If people get where I'm coming from.
Yeah, totally.
Often people think that there's a sort of liberals are overrepresented in the arts or
yes.
the media, which is not the case all the time.
Yeah.
Right, so that's a matter of rights. I want to take a break, so I need a wee-wee, but I won't. Benji...
Are you sure the general audience are interested in your...
When you are sitting in front of the desk with the big boy mic, you can do whatever you like. I'm drinking coffee, and then I thought, well, I need to drink some water, but I didn't fully account for it. Benji, the Little Gay Bull podcast. What's this about? Discuss.
This is a podcast that popped up in 2019, and this was recommended to me by somebody in the building, but I don't know if they want their name mentioned, so I'll just say that it was recommended to me by somebody who said, you'll enjoy this. And I did.
Do an impression of them, and we'll see if we can get
this. I'm totally ignoring you.
Huh?
Okay, I'm doing it. Michael, you should listen to this podcast.
Oh, I love impressions. I wonder, does anyone out there doing impressions of anyone on Highland Radio?
Oh, that would be great.
Do you remember the TikTok that
was? Yeah, I know. He was excellent, but that's one person.
You want everybody doing it?
Just someone doing an impression. Send us a WhatsApp voice note of doing an impression of someone on Highland. I'd love that. Please, come on, be great fun.
Great, it'd be a good one.
It is a good idea, actually.
WhatsApp voice message, or if you know someone, it doesn't have to be today, get them to do it, we can carry it over to next week. There's bound to be someone that does impressions of people on Highland.
There has to be, yeah.
Oh, come on, play the game. WhatsApp the voice notes into us. And it doesn't have to be good, because sometimes it not being good's funny.
It's funny, yeah.
Or even it's phrases or pauses or whatever it might be. Send it into us, voice notes. Obviously, we'll filter them in case they're offensive.
Yeah.
But come on,
some of the on-air talent could get involved, because like didn't Timothy Chalamet gate crash at Timothy Chalamet?
I don't have to.
He did. Yeah. That was brilliant.
Okay. So basically, there's nothing to stop some
on-air
talent.
So can you
do
an impression of the person that recommended this podcast for us? Come on,
can I prep
crack.
It? Over?
I mean, is it a controversial podcast?
No,
right,
well,
on,
it's
welcome to the 19 Inch Show.
No, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Go on.
I'm totally flabbergasted. I don't know how to. I feel like I haven't really studied their mannerisms. They were like, this is really good. You didn't enjoy this.
Okay.
I can't. They've nothing.
So
nothing.
They didn't go, hey, Benji, the little gay bull, you need to watch that, hey? Did you guess?
I have no idea.
I'm like, is that a person that we know? Is that somebody you made up? Is this person in the room now? Can you see them?
I see dead people. No, right. So who doesn't matter. Why? What is it about this podcast?
So this was a big story in 2014, 10 years ago, and I was totally oblivious to it. Maybe it'll ring a bell or whatever that. So basically in this podcast, it's one of the RTE Docon ones when you get them on Spotify, and it's well worth checking out. But so basically a farmer was talking to a group of his friends about the fact that he had spent a lot of money on a bull, and the bull was showing no interest in the cows. Do you remember this?
Yes.
At Mayo, somewhere in Mayo, there was a gay bull. And this was before Ireland passed the same sex. This is like 5 months before. So this, in that group of friends, there was a journalist. And she's also in this podcast. And she talks about the fact that she thought, well, there's a cute little story. I'll put this story out and just put it out. But the story unexpectedly got a lot of traction, because Graham Norton was in the country doing his show from whatever, blah, blah, from Dublin. And he became aware of it. There was a crossover with producers. Long story short, it suddenly got international attention that there was this gay bull in Ireland. And the farmer comes across very well in this. He's a very practical man. I mean, I grew up in farming community, so he comes across as a very practical farmer. He's running a business. This bull, as he says himself, was there to do one job. He had paid money. The only thing to do with the bull was sell him onto the abattoir. Like, that was going to be the way to go. The bull's days were numbered, because he wasn't doing the one job. Nothing against the bull, just no problem. But he said, you need...
His function.
He wasn't doing...
He had
doing
a function and he didn't function.
So this became a huge thing. There was like, there were, you know, online raising funds to save the bull.
I can't believe I'm going to ask this question.
Go ahead.
A lack of interest in cows is the default position, not that he's gay. I mean, maybe he's just not interested in cows.
Well, he was expressing interest in a male. In a male,
okay,
yeah. So he was, yeah. Okay. No, that's a good... That's actually a question. Good question, yes. Yeah. Because it could be just testosterone levels were low or something. Yeah, it could be. No, he actively pursued... males.
Okay.
He was no interest in females. And the farmer, again, I like the guy, the farmer. The farmer comes across very well. He's amused by the whole thing. He feels great empathy for the animal, but he also feels like, well, it's a business, and I'm, you know, it's not, I don't have a big I liked him. The do-gooders in the... I have to say this. The do-gooders in this podcast come across as sort of a bit naive and clueless.
When you say do-gooders...
The people who jumped in and tried to save the bull. Like, the practicalities of having to maybe pay the farmer for the bull didn't occur to some of them. It was like, can we not just have the bull? And talking about, you know, he's talking about people contacting him who just wanted the bull, who didn't have land to put the bull on.
I'm just going
to
keep him in the backyard.
Yes. Yeah, that kind of stuff makes me a bit weary for the future of... But the framing of this, before you come in, the framing of this is that it's 5 years on and the podcast was done 5 years after the story, and really what they're doing is they're tracking down in 2019... after the events of the story, after everything happened, they're wondering, is it possible now to find out where Benji is? I mean, obviously, he wasn't sent to the abattoir in 2014. Forces came in to save him, somehow, miraculously. International, I mean, Graham Norton was a big part of that, obviously, getting the word out. But then the idea of the documentary is the farmer and the journalist who started it all from their friendship. Their friendship goes back 20-something years. She comes across very well as well, because she promised him back in 2014 she would not divulge the location, and a lot of pressure was being put on her. And what I really like about her is that she stuck to her guns. She wouldn't tell her editor, she wouldn't tell anyone else. So he
stay
never,
where you are. Let's listen to some international coverage of the situation.
Yeah, go for it.
Benji the Bull from the Butcher's Knife. The beast's only crime is that he has no interest in mating with cows, but with other bulls instead.
You may have heard recently in the news about a bull named Benji, who's facing the slaughterhouse for being gay.
Benji had been bought for breeding purposes, but unfortunately, or may not be so unfortunate, Benji turns out to like boys, and who can blame him?
Unfortunately, the news is that the farmer has bought another bull to replace Benji, and sending Benji to the slaughterhouse.
Okay, hashtag save Benji, that's on RT News. I don't think the framing of it, I don't think he was going to be sent to the abattoir because he was gay.
I think that comes across in the podcast. It's a farm is a business, full stop. Like it totally is. Like, and this guy, by the sound of it, he comes across very well. He sounds like a good crack. He sounds like a guy you go for a pint with. But he's like, you know, I was suddenly finding.
They interviewed a lead of the campaigner. One second, I have
the opportunity for us to get people talking about cows and bulls, because for the most part people probably would never question the fact that these type of animals have feelings just like ourselves.
But not everyone supports the cause to save Benji. Some Twitter users voice their bewilderment, saying the whole ordeal has nothing to do with the gay rights issues. Others are wondering why Benji is getting special treatment over heterosexual cattle slaughtered every day.
It's an interesting one. Sorry, one of the tweets here. Save Benji. It really should be get Benji on my plate. Which I think is really quite heartless. That's one of the tweets from the Times. Sorry, I didn't realise it actually had garnered international attention.
Yes.
And full international packages.
Donna Marie, you remember this, obviously. It rang a bell.
At the start, I was like, I wonder what that's about. But whenever you started chatting, I was like, oh my God. Because there was also the two penguins it's in one of the zoos in America. That
rings a bell too.
Yeah, obviously, there were two male penguins, so they, you know, penguins mate for life.
Yes.
And they admitted to each other. And they started carrying around a rock like it was an egg. So they did. And it was really sad because they were like sitting on it and nesting on it and waiting for it to hatch.
Dating, do they go out to pick a penguin?
Wow. My words. And I get told off for
Do you remember the story of Benji?
No.
So
don't try and brush past a terrible joke. No, I don't remember. I don't remember. But I don't watch news really in a traditional fashion. I get my news in different places, so I don't sit and watch reports. But there you go. Listen, fascinating. The podcast.
It's very good. It's well worth listening.
Is it updated or is it still the 2019
It's the
podcast?
2019 one, yeah. So okay.
We don't know what happened to Benji.
They do as of 2019. I mean, that's the spoiler. But the end of it is they find him, and we presume 5 years later he's still in that particular situation. Okay. But it's definitely one of those instances where you're hearing a story and you're like, I've never heard a story like this before.
Yes. No, I think that falls into that category. Okay. Right, let's take a break. Back with more after these. Okay, and by the way, which is Saturday Night Live's impression of... of Joe Biden, which is quite funny. We were talking about impressions earlier on. Sunday breaks will be limited today, but it will stay quite mild with highest temperatures of 12 to 14 degrees in light Wins. Right, there was something I was going to mention before I came in there. I was just thinking, oh, yeah, when I just went out for a glass of water there, we're in the cycle now of the election in the United States, and one of the big talking points in the last election was gay frogs. There was this big gay frog conspiracy that the water was turning frogs gay,
yes.
And the fear yes. was is that that could... The fear. That could be that, that this was... what was happening, that the stuff was being put in the water to affect people's sexuality.
Yeah, yeah, sounds completely plausible.
Sounds plausible, all right. Yeah. But you know what? You say anything and you'll get a certain amount of people.
Oh, you will, you will. Of course, you get traction. You get traction for stuff, yeah.
Young Sheldon comes up from time to time. Donna Marie Doherty, it's on Channel 4.
I have been waiting so hard to finally see the end of Young Sheldon, and Channel 4 was releasing it every Sunday and it just finished there.
Who's old Sheldon? Pardon my ignorance. So
what do you mean?
Who's
Jim Parsons?
This, no, but who's the character? Like, I mean,
Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory. The spin-off
okay,
from
so
Big
this
Bang.
Is, yeah. So Sheldon's from the Big Bang Theory.
It's a prequel.
Yes, okay,
prequel.
Brilliant. Same
his
character?
Childhood. His
okay,
childhood.
Excellent. Right, go ahead. Take it away, Don.
It is absolutely brilliant. So it is, but I think it's still on the Channel 4 player because I know a lot. Like, whenever I was saying, oh my God, I finally finished Young Sheldon, people are like, where have you seen it? So it's on Channel 4. You can get it on the Channel 4 player. But oh my goodness, ugly crowd the last way through the two episodes, the final two episodes. It was, but it just wrapped everything up really nicely. So it did. It's, you know, I'm not one for a wild serious show. I think whenever you like, can we cover serious topics in here? I just love going home for a laugh.
Yeah, switch off. A bit, yeah,
exactly. But no, it's really good. It's a good series that you can watch from start to finish. I'd say you'd binge through it in 3 weeks easily.
Yeah, and it's nice, isn't it, to sort of have a beginning, a middle and the end. It comes up from time to time, Michael would agree, on this show, but there's no harm in that. I think sometimes you know, people try and, you know, be obtuse or whatever the right word is.
Yeah.
You know, there's no harm in just wrapping things up and giving your fans, you know,
absolutely
that
yeah, absolutely
exactly.
Yeah,
I don't know, I said anything, you'd say, oh, you know, it's so awful whenever they always get the girl. I'm like, you know what, sometimes it is just nice.
Yes, it is. I agree.
And often they do. Often they do get the girl.
And just to wrap things up, and I think, I mean, I won't say on air, but I think it's a bittersweet kind of ending, isn't it, in
it
some
is.
Respects to Young Sheldon.
It
I haven't
is.
Seen it yet, but I'm
and
gonna,
it's nice.
But that can be good too.
And what I do like about it is that people who watch The Big Bang Theory know that Sheldon is so, yeah, he's so set in his ways, and there are things that he said about his childhood whenever they start at Young Sheldon, you're like, how are they going to do this?
Yes.
But the whole thing is, it's just he's such an unreliable narrator.
Clever.
And,
clever.
Know,
okay.
You can see.
Get away with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, definitely. It's brilliant. But now Young Sheldon has got another spin-off about his brother.
Okay.
And that just got picked up. So they had their first
And will
four
that
episodes.
Work? Or are they flogging a dead horse at this stage?
No, it's actually really good. I have
okay.
to say it is.
All right. You've seen some of it.
I have.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's another one coming up, which is a spin-off of the main show, because they're now going to do a Big Bang Theory spin-off in the present day, which we think is around the comic book shop. So I think three of them. Yeah. I've seen it in the last week that they've got the three actors, the girlfriend, the guy, and the other guy, the scientist guy. So I said, come inside a comic book shop. Strangely, that might appeal to me.
Yeah.
It's in fact, it ticks many of your boxes
absolutely,
needless
yeah.
to say. All right, so that's Young Sheldon on Channel 4. The Channel 4 player is great, really. I mean, you have to watch ads, but no more than you might have to watch.
That's it.
And especially
yeah.
what I've noticed as well, if you watch it later at night, they drop the ads.
Yeah.
Many of the ads.
Ooh,
it seems
okay.
to be time sensitive.
Time-sensitive.
And in fairness to Virgin Media Player 2, or whatever, the Virgin platform, if you're watching it, they've recently updated their app and actually it's far more usable now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, you know, some of these apps we criticise and they were quite clumpy, but Virgin Media is pretty good. Channel 4 is excellent as well, so that's good.
Yeah.
Right, you're going acting in things.
Yes.
Or directing at the weekend.
And can I mention just briefly, Yellowstone came up earlier.
Oh, yes, go
Huge
ahead.
Fan base for Yellowstone. It's worth
it's
pointing
massive.
Out. Massive.
I never knew about it until, like, week after week, people would text in Yellowstone, Yellowstone, Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The last batch of episodes, November 10th, it starts in. These are the final episodes, as far as we know, with Kevin Costner leaving the show. He's given a really good interview on the Rick Eisner show a few months ago, and it's actually really good as he explains his reasons for stepping away from the show.
Mm-hmm.
But that's now the main thing is 10 days from now, internationally, the new episodes will start dropping. So that's what I wanted to mention. It's coming back.
Excellent. And these are the seasons have there been?
This is the second half of season 6. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's huge. There's a lot of stuff.
And it could go
there.
On. I mean, again, that's not, it's just, it's a pity that it's ending as it seems to be ending now. But that's a big question mark of what they're doing. But I mean, that's big news for fans.
Best of luck with the weekend. Enjoy
it. Thank you,
Greg. Don't worry, your plans are yet to be determined.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure I'll find someone else to watch. Oh, yes. Yeah, so anybody wants to hang out with me this weekend, I'm so available.
Well, she's not quite as available as she's making out. Right, Donna Marie, listen, thanks so much for deputising for Fionnuala. It's been lovely having you on.
Yes.
And also, Michael, as always, thank you so
great
much for your time. It's greatly appreciated. That is where we leave it for another week on the 9 till noon show. Thank you to so many of you for listening. If you choose to watch the show or texting or WhatsApping or whatever, we really do appreciate it. And we'll catch up on any comments we missed on Monday. But have a great weekend. Stay safe and stay tuned.